everywhere. And it's not a wonder that that could be a part of the community of faith. We yield ourselves to the wisdom of your word, being upon being confident and mindless Christians. We know that it's a lamp for our life. So guide us, Lord. Open our hearts and our ears to receive these words, that we might be not just hearers of it, but doers of it. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, see, if you notice on your bulletin, it says something interesting there, that today is Christ-containing Sunday. Well, it's not a major Sunday, it's certainly not a Presbyterian tradition, but like, the reason I, well, it doesn't say that, does it? Oh, it does. That's because I'm using November 18th celebration. I'm glad I didn't try to read the passage from that. Yes, I mean, it does say Christ-containing Sunday. Now, it's just interesting because, I don't want to make a big thing about this. That's just a liturgical. It's one of those events of the year. Actually, it's the last Sunday of the liturgical year before Advent begins, which is really the start of the church year. But I thought it was interesting to mention, here we are on Thanksgiving week, as we've been working through Mark, so the passage on authority comes along at the very time when it's Christ became Sunday, the time when we acknowledge the kingship of Jesus. And I thought, hey, that's cool. Let's mention that this is Christ became Sunday. So we talk all the time as evangelicals, as Christians, that Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Can we affirm this? Do I hear an amen? Yes. Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. In the communicants class and the members class, one of the questions we ask is, well, what does it mean to say Jesus is my Lord and Savior? Most of us have a good idea of what it means that Jesus is my Savior. He died a sinner, he died for my sins, thank God for that. But when we say Lord, well, it should be easy, but sometimes that was a well, it's easy as it can. Jesus, my babe. It's kind of like in the Middle Ages when we said Jesus is Lord. Or when you said my Lord, my babe, what we're saying is Jesus is Lord. Alright? Now we're living in a society that sort of likes the message of Jesus as Savior. No, they don't, actually. Let's throw that out. They don't. I mean, the fact is, like we say, if you went out there in the world, your favorite message is the Jesse Ventura message. Ever heard the wrestler, the ex-governor of Minnesota, his message is, I don't need a savior, and I don't want a Lord. There's the word for you. But the answer, unfortunately, is, well, you do need a savior. And whether you want it or not, Jesus is Lord. That's the interesting thing I want to talk about today, about this idea of Jesus' lordship. It is true, and wonderfully true, that God calls us in his mercy. He calls to sinners like us, and he says to us in our weakness and our brokenness, I am here for you, I love you, I sent my son Jesus, who stood in your stead, and you are invited into the kingdom of God if you just trust in me. I mean, how easy is this? It's sweet and beautiful. Jesus is our Savior, right? And we, Jesus can be our Savior if we turn to the Lord in faith, right? He is the Savior of some. Who is that some? All, without exception. All who will turn to him and trust in him, right? But it's the same thing with his lordship. It's kind of like, well, do I have to trust in Jesus and make him Lord? No, no, he's Lord anyway. Whether you like it or love it, he's the Lord. Whether you acknowledge it, oh, I don't even believe in God, he's still the Lord. It's funny, there are many years of my life I didn't believe in God, and all of a sudden I believed in God. Did he thereby become Lord? No. I woke up to the existing reality. This is important. Because the world, what we want to talk about today is these issues of worship, on Christ-containing Sunday. These chief priests and scribes come out to Jesus and they ask him this very interesting question. By what authority do you do these things to Jesus? And it's an interesting question. It gives us a chance to think about what is authority? What's the nature of authority? What's the nature of Christ's authority for us? And one more thing that's interesting. What's the nature of our authority as we go out into the world? I'm going to contend to you my anxiety. As a Christian, we are called by God. It's very stressful for me sometimes because I know that the world is just itching to see me fail and fall. Just go ahead and drop the ball. They want to see you fall. You know this. They want to see us fall. They want to see each one of you fall because they're going to be absolutely unmasking the nerve. They come and question my lifestyle. They're trying to do anything. You don't have the nerve to stand there and do that thing. You're looking for consistency. No matter how much you say yes to the Christian messages, we're a bunch of sinners. Saved by grace. I'm not doing this imperfectly myself, but I'm trying. I'm trying to live standard to his glory. Kind of, we're not interested in that. So this question of authority that we have out there in the world, what authority when the world is in the middle of the world, let's say, you know, and people that are super educated with God in the scripture, oh, they watch enough media to make themselves dangerous. They're going to sit here and go, oh, what about the Nazi Gospels? What about that? Well, I don't know. Maybe I'm willing to buy all these intellects. What is your authority? Who are you going to talk? Who are you going to say, hey, you're false. You're going to do this stuff. It's the stuff of our life. And it's the stuff, I think, especially for Christians. So I want to begin with it. The definition of authority. What is authority?
Did I get to the Jews?
No. Only if we're surrounded with the gospel. respect tradition too much. It's weird that we took that up here, we have exactly the opposite problem. That if you're learning, then it's been something of Western authority that has become almost despite authority in our culture. And we're reading some bad things because of it, if you think about it. But what do I mean by that? First of all, we could say it's not why it's the question of authority. I mean, this is what Jesus was saying. Don't just sit here and believe in everything they say. Why? Because it's why he's given who is sinfulness. You give people a little bit of power. You heard the old saying, power corrupts. Be careful. Don't cede your freedom to these people who will then take it from you. There's something more is twisted authority. What if we're shocked when we see our institutions, even our religious leaders, go, we got these things. But then there's another thing, isn't it, where we go right from questioning authority, which could be a healthy thing, into despising authority. And we have a society that's weak, and I don't have to remember all the parts of a society in serious dissolution. I get no pleasure in saying this. But this is not that. When I look out there, I see just contemptuous behavior, vulgar behavior, callous behavior, on a system in which just we despise authority. We look down on people who have the nerve to try and assert anything, right? But here's the funny thing. When you really think about it, this is the strange thing. A whole group of people that say they're throwing off the yoke of authority and I'm being myself, but then you're really not. But we're in a better society that in the moment, we're getting filled with authority everywhere. It's like this bureaucratic authority. If you think about this, I mean, people are throwing off authority left and right. But in the void, you become the authority, so we're all hungry for intimidation. All right, I'll tell you what I love about Pennsylvania. Your car agency, the car licensing. Because you realize that you are. We are in Pennsylvania. I mean, in Pennsylvania, I walk in and I get a license there, correctly, a license, 3 seconds. I get an out and take a picture. I say, whoopers! Anyone from another state, but it's not as nice as Pennsylvania. I don't think it's New Jersey. I'm here. This is it. I do not know. It's okay. And we sit there for hours. You're watching your number. You're like number 95. And it's number 20 up there. It's not moving. And you have to spend your whole day waiting. And it's so sad because all you need is this one thing. If I could just go up there, I can get this. Oh, you've got big stuff. And bureaucracy things. Just like your regular spiking, it's okay. I don't want to be like something, you know. But I'm just not worried. And there's people God, so what did you see? So what authority is you doing all these things? What then? Well, last week we already did the temple. What's your student? For 3 years, he's been healing people. He's been bringing life to the health of people. He's good for that. He's been long seen. He's been the lepers fleeing. Shouldn't we be rejoicing for this? He's teaching friends life. He's teaching his ways. He's good. Remember that beautiful picture of life? I love this picture of Jesus walking wherever he slips, that money is going to pop up in the way. Did they rejoice? No! They didn't rejoice. Why? Because you are stepping on our space. Why don't other people do these things? You see, we mentioned earlier, and Jesus is really wonderful the way he does. They upgraded to Jerusalem, and as he was walking to the temple, the chief priests and scribes and the elders came to him, and they said, well, why what authority are you doing these things? Well, who gave you this authority? Alright? And it just
I was blessed this week. I struggled with this passage at first because my personal belief came. Here's how.
Christ, we're your glory, but he's not. His accusation really degrading, but he was your heroes. He sees that. And then turns it around, and this is going to find me really away. Jesus says, why is he on Christ? Ask me about him. So, you're not being able to. So, the last thing that John can tell you, or for man, is me. Now, the answer is fully and clearly, as a matter of fact, only without saying it. And in fact, he's working on it now. And the rest of it, he's in effect, he's saying, hey, who does John say I am? Well, that's right. You don't believe John. What is your position on John? It's really plain how this happens here. And as far as what did John say about Jesus? Think about this for a second. What was John the Baptist's testimony about Jesus? The very first one in the world to testify to the Lord Jesus Christ about that is man. Yes, remember that Jesus comes into the room, not even before he gets to with Mary, and the strangest thing happens, and Elizabeth is like, I'm excited about that, the first one to testify to the Lord Jesus Christ. What does John say about Jesus? Behold, the Lamb of God comes to take away the sins of the world. Right? He is the one, I am not even worthy, said John to Augusta, John to the salmon. He is the Holy One of God. He's the one to the Spirit. The Spirit, I saw it, he said. The Spirit descended from bodily form like a dove and rested and remained upon him. Right? He's the one that we've been waiting for. I baptize with water, and he baptizes with the Spirit and with fire. And you hear these things. And Jesus, in fact, says an interesting thing about this too. Look what Jesus said about John's testimony. By the way, here's a scene. It's a bit interesting. You remember Jesus' life in a series of passages for his ministry. This is from 2 years ago, 2 years before this event that we're talking about today, in Jerusalem, during the Passover feast. When he was there, and he said, if I alone bear witness about myself, my testimony is not being true. Why is that? Because he was very spiritual here. Old Testament, because you need good witnesses. It's just the witness of the law. You can't just come along and say, oh, I'm a prophet. You. Someone else has to testify to you. And he's pointing that out. Oh, yeah, I don't care if it's to myself. No. My testimony is being true. But there is another who bears witness about me, and I know that the testimony he bears of is true. You said to John, and he is more witness to the truth, not the testimony that was made from them, but the instinct that he made me say, he was a perfect and shining man, and you were willing to rejoice in him. That John. Who's John Baptist? What happened in Israel after Malachi, right? So let's look at the Old Testament. About 400 BC. What happened? Were there a lot of prophets that appeared at that time? No. Cyrus. And interesting. Who did Israel mean by that? If you think about it, the Bible begins with Genesis. All this stuff goes on. It begins with the beginning of the world and the season of the world. And then in the story of Genesis ends on this sort of old happy note. You know, the religion sort of, wait. Is this right? And all of a sudden, silence for 400 years of slavery. And then the whole gigantic Old Testament happens from like Exodus all the way from Malachi to the end of Malachi. What? Just like a beginning. Silence for 400 years. And all of a sudden, Isaac John the Baptist. Oh, it's a moment. That's why I'm like a voice in the wilderness. If we get ready for Advent, think about this. Think about it. The feast of the Advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. That voice in the wilderness that began on the way to the they're saying silence in Israel for 400 years. John Baptist came. He's coming. So that's exciting. So this God is saying this, that Jesus is silent. He's coming to the world. And I don't know where I am. The question is, have you refused to stay here in this own child? And they're not saying the time. They're questioning the difference. They're not saying, well, what did you get this about? We can be jealous. Like, no, you didn't get the authority from us. And this is the teaching for today. This is an authority for us in Scripture. It's a reminder. What is the cost? You say, John. All through the history of the church, God has pulled up people from the of the church and appointed them. it shows finally the possibility that people have that you can put that faith in this question. Again, when you really look at that, what was this question asking? We've talked about this before, but it's important. When people go up to you and say, so, you know, the question is this, like, you think I'm going to hell? Or if it's sort of that answer, what are you asking? Yes. You're given a choice here in this question. Can I be an inconsistent Christian and say, no, no, I believe all that stuff? Oh, good. Now I'll separate you from your moorings. At least you're inconsistent. I like you, but your faith is worth nothing. Or, your faith can be real, then you're going to hell. And you're a being rotten person. Which one is it? I don't know. Thank you, man. Great God. Exactly the answer. The answer is, I don't know. I know there is God. I know I'm living in creation. I know the Lord Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. I know the Holy Spirit abides in me. I am sure I won't get over it more if this is the name of life. I don't know what he's doing with you. But seriously, there's something to this. There's hell. I really don't know. I can't suppose there are going to hell. I don't know. I maybe right now. Something's going to happen. Should people be blind? I don't know. But beware of those kind of questions that have to come to you. And like these guys, the bureaucrats, the gatekeepers, want to deliver, put you in your life. Remember, in power, you will struggle to the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, he is here. I don't know how many times people have come up to me in this congregation, so, but I didn't know the scripture well about this. This is a good thing. Wise when we look at the leadership of things, we look be wise about doing sin. about the sheep. They might think, oh, you're the sheep. You're just resting here. No, they're the sheep. They're just following each other. And what it is all sometimes, if you don't want to follow this morning, God, you're going to feel bad. I believe in the Stephen Hawking, but you don't even understand Stephen Hawking. I'm not sure. But you look at it and here's the other thing. Don't be cowed by the sheep. Don't be cowed by the sheep out there. One of these followers, they're going to say, oh, you're just a sheep now. You're the flock of Jesus Christ. You're either going to be the flock walking over the country, or you're going to be the flock walking toward heaven. Let's hold together. And give. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. I want us to say a couple of words together and then put them on the stuff in prayer. Let's read this together. It's an application of faith. I'm going to ask you this. Why are we called a Christian? Let's read it together. I am called a Christian because of my faith. I am a member of Christ, and so I share in his company. I only want to confess his name to present myself to him as a living sacrifice of thanks, to strive with a good conscience against sin and the devil in this life, and afterwards to reign with Christ over all creation for all eternity. We call him our Lord because not with gold and silver, but with his precious blood, he has set us free from sin and from the tyranny of God, and has brought us, crying soul, to be his very own. Amen. There is a confession to sink your teeth in. We can keep our Lord and Savior with love and the Lord and self and loving. Let's go together. Heavenly Father, your greatness. We acknowledge that we live in the world and we live and breathe this world. So we do shamefully end up being part of the machine ourselves sometimes. In other words, we start believing some of the hype ourselves. But how could we come in to your presence here in the first house of the week and to remember really who you are? Though the world denies you, though the world says, oh, we don't believe you, we don't need you, we affirm you. And acknowledge that the heavens can learn your handiwork. We acknowledge that just to walk outside and to breathe the air and to realize that the living and the creation is exquisitely binding for us. We rejoice. We rejoice in the wonder of your creation and the character of the creatures. It removes from us this kind of ridiculous false pride that we're some sort of demigods. We acknowledge ourselves. We are but dust and ashes. We are your creatures, Lord. You have formed us to be as we are. But at the same time, Lord, you have crowned us with glory and honor. That in your mercy, by your grace,